starting at verse 16. We're going to be looking at 16 through 23 today. So as you find that in your Bibles, I'd like for us all to stand for the reading of God's Word. If you can't stand, we understand. It's okay. I like for us to say, this is for me today. And we stand in respect and honor of it. So let's read 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Let's pray. Dear Father, I am completely unworthy to be able to handle this scripture today. In my sinful heart, I find that each and every day I'm just discovering how far I am from where I need to be with you, and how much unlike I am from you. But Lord, I am working on, and I desire to be more like you every day. So thank you, Lord, that your word is truth, and your word will speak for itself today. Lord, I seek and I desire that today I might be able to help expose and open up our minds just a little bit to this word so that we can apply it to our lives and understand it just a little bit better. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open all of our minds today and help my words to be ones that will be helpful in better understanding what you're conveying to us. And then, ultimately, each one of us have the responsibility to live it out. And, Lord, we're going to need your Holy Spirit to give us the power, the strength, the ability to be able to do that. So, Lord, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all have a seat. We're going to break this down just a little bit. Do you ever notice how John 3:16 is a very common favorite verse of people? Today, as we look at this, we're going to see that the signs of salvation we're going to be focusing on today is having love from the heart and seeing answered prayers. And so we might say, how are those two connected? Well, by the end of the sermon, after reading this passage, I'm hoping that we'll be able to see the connection between these. But let's just notice the similarity of this verse to John 3:16. This is 1 John 3:16, and it's very interesting how similar they are. You know, if we read John 3:16, y'all probably know this one by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's about love, isn't it? It's about love from the heart. It's about God's love for us. And when we look at this one from 1 John 3:16, by this we know love. Still about love, isn't it? Because he laid down his life for us, but this one's going to connect it a little bit more with our individual lives too. Not only is that the way that we're saved, but it's the way that we live out that salvation. Because he goes on to say, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So, you know, some people would say, well, I'm saved, but I don't really like going to church, or I don't really like all those church people. That's a terrible evidence that they might actually not be saved, or at the very least, there's a problem in their heart between them and God that they need to deal with. Because here's the thing: the brothers and the sisters in the faith should be those that we first connect with in extending this love to one another. In fact, the Bible says to do good to all, and especially those of the household of God. So, like, we don't stop here. But this should be the starting ground. This should be the place where we really get practiced up on loving one another. And then as we go out from here, then we can love people that are pretty unlovable. And so we should be filled up with the love of God. And here's something I want to say from the get-go here. You can't give what you don't have. Okay? You can't give what you don't have. We don't manufacture this. You get it from God, otherwise you can't give it. And you know how you can begin to get it from God is to make sure your heart's right with Him. Make sure you're in that relationship with Him. Make sure you're a child of God. Make sure the Holy Spirit's living in you, because that's where that love begins to come from. You should be able to see the love of God being displayed and lived out for us. So a lot of us would say, man, I'm so glad that Jesus laid down His life for us. Now I can go on and do whatever I want. But that's not what this is saying. It's saying just like He laid down His life for us, now it's time for us to lay down our lives for one another. That sounds like it's going to be uncomfortable sometimes, right? But here's the thing. God didn't just create us for happiness, folks. God created us for holiness. And I'll tell you, the happiness will catch up with it sometimes. But sometimes, as we work on holiness, we find out that we even hit more struggles than what we realized and thought that we might. Do you ever notice sometimes when you're doing the right thing, it seems like Satan comes against you even harder, and we say, well, this ain't worth it. What are you talking about? I just did this loving deed for this brother over here and the sister over here, and it seems like things are getting harder for me. Well, how do you think Jesus felt whenever He was being nailed to the cross? He'd been laying down His life for His people the whole 33 years of His life, right? He had been in heaven for all of eternity past and before that. And guess what He was doing? He was reaching out to an obstinate and disobedient people the whole time. He was laying down His life, so to speak, even there. And He came physically to do it in a physical way to demonstrate it. And it wasn't just, although it was to do that supernatural work of atoning our sin on the cross, but it was also, as He did that supernatural work, He was being an example to us as well. Because as He got down on His knees and he wrapped Himself in that towel and He washed His disciples' feet, He said, just as I'm doing now, you need to do for one another. And so sometimes we can look at that and say, well, that's all just about foot washing. No, it's about our lives. It's about our lives. I can tell you it's easy to do a ritual one time and maybe be humble for a couple seconds. But what God really wants us to do is humble ourselves to doing it each and every day with one another. Where does that start? Starts in our homes. It starts in us laying down our lives for those among us. It continues on right here in the church body, and it don't stop with just this body. We got a body of Christ that's all over the world. Amen. So you just think that if you designate a little bit of your offering to the Ukrainian church, you know what you're doing? You're fellowshipping with the brothers there. You're laying down your life in just a little way. And that He gets into that right here in verse 17, doesn't He? What is this love and this laying down our life going to look like? We read about it right here, verse 17 and 18. It says, whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Yes, it's going to be cause for giving something that's dear to us. It's going to be cause for, you know, and that needs, I mean, it could involve our money. But he goes on in verse 18 to even expand it a little bit more. He says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Guys, here's the thing. The thing we have to offer, it's going to be bigger than just money, isn't it? It could be our time, our talents. It could be that sacrifice of that day that you just didn't want to hear bad news, but man, your brother or sister is really going through a bad time. And you humble yourself and you listen to them. Sometimes it can be just listening. You know, sometimes we listen, we want to fix. There may come a time that you can offer advice, and it might be a good idea to ask before we do. Would you like for me to offer any insight? Sometimes we just need to listen. You know, and then we can pray, right? There's so many things that we can offer. It might be some skill or some wonderful gift that we've been given, you know? It could be just to share some time together and the sacrifice of time, you know? You see a person that's really discouraged, they just might need somebody to come by and visit for a few minutes. You might think, I don't have time. It could be a house that blew away in Kentucky and offering up a portion of our time to go and help build some walls and put a dry roof over it. That's what's motivated us to take that step. It may be for a brother, or it may be for a lost person who eventually will be our brother. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? So here's the thing. We can say that we love, but until we're willing to kind of lay down our lives in it, there's nothing that says love more than the action. Amen? I see this church doing this a lot, so, you know, again, I get to preach to the choir. Sometimes that's nice. But I would like it if it encourages us to take the next step in that as well and continue, because we can always improve. We can always grow in that. For some, you may be sitting there thinking, that preacher ain't going to talk me into sacrificing anything. I used to be one of those guys. Here's the thing, guys. I don't want to talk you into anything. What I want to do is bring forth the Word of God clearly. And if the Holy Spirit brings conviction on your heart and you need to adjust your life, I pray you'll do that today. And we'll move forward from here able to minister in even greater ways. He goes on, you know, and I think that's kind of what it looks like. It begins to look like that, like, we are willing to meet people at their point of need. So where do we experience this kind of love? You see, you can't give what you don't have. Remember I talked about that? So it's got to start somewhere. And I think he shows us where it starts here in verse 19, where he says, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. I know that sounds a little obscure, but I want you to think about it in these terms. I think this is a kind of an example of that in a physical way. Whenever we had the two disciples who were journeying on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus met them on the road. And at first they didn't recognize him. So I just took a couple verses from that story, that thing that happened there in Luke chapter 24. I love this. And so they were talking to Jesus, and they didn't know it was Jesus, and they're talking about why they're sorrowful and why they feel, you know, down, and he's like, he's going along with them. Of course he knew why. But, you know, he's engaging them in conversation, and pretty soon they're like basically asking him if he's just, you know, been living in a cave somewhere or something. You know, they're like, haven't you heard? I mean, come on. Because they didn't recognize him. And then he goes on, you know, and he continues in the conversation. I love the way Jesus did relationship with people. He really taught us a lot. He was patient. And in this, you know, he begins to open their eyes to the scriptures. And he's like showing them in the Old Testament scriptures about who he is and everything. And then we pick it up here in verses 31 and 32, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? You see, they received something in their heart there. I'm going to just say it changed their lives. You see, because as they received this communion with Jesus, now that's communion. That's given and taken. They were receiving something from him in that exchange, in that conversation, their eyes being opened, the Holy Spirit involved in all of this, that changed their lives and I believe made their hearts able to love. These men of this group of disciples went on to lay their lives down for the church. They went on to lay their lives down so others would get to know Jesus. They laid their lives down so that we could have this book, this wonderful collection of God's Word to us. They laid their lives down. They lived love so that we could have it today. So we could have this knowledge, this information. And here's the thing, guys. When you sit down and spend time with Jesus yourself, he will convey that into us. And I just want to know, how many of you have ever had that experience whenever you were doing your own personal private Bible study and you felt like God spoke to you, God opened your eyes, God communed with you, and it put something in your heart that would propel you to lay down your life? That's where we get that kind of life-changing love that we can give to others. And dare I say that if you, first of all, don't have a relationship with Jesus, and then, secondly, if you don't spend time with Jesus to receive that, you're not going to have it to give. It's very important that we're receiving from him what we have to give to others. If we try to do it of the flesh, you know what will happen? You're going to get real discouraged real fast. You're going to ask a whole lot about, why am I even bothering to do this? And you might even walk away. And if that's the case, you're going to prove that there's something wrong in your relationship with Christ. That's why I believe this is one of those signs of salvation. That's why, you know, I know I read these verses last week. Some of you might have remembered that I read 16 through 18 last week if you were here. But I felt like these are such important verses, we needed to read them again. We need to frame these again in almost a new context. Last week, I just simply said sacrificial love. This week, we're going to expound on it further, because I think this is an absolute telltale sign that Jesus is living in your heart, because he puts a supernatural love in your heart that makes you willing to lay down your life for your brothers and sisters. So here's the thing. I can sit here and say, I'm not really sure that's happened to me. I'll be honest, a few months, maybe a year into walking with Christ, I knew there was a lot lacking in my heart of love. I just didn't have the love that I really felt like I should have for Christ first, and then for my brothers. And I'm sure I'm still working on it today. But if you get to that point and you say, I'm not sure, has this really happened to me? Here's what this next verse, I think, means in verse 20. It means just ask God. You may not know, but God sure does. And if he loves us and he died for us and he's real and he can communicate with us, he can show you. So let's just ask him. It says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Ask him. I still remember the day that I had gone to this men's conference and I heard all these guys expressing their love for Christ. And I'll be honest, it made me uncomfortable. I went away from the men's conference. It was a two-day one, too. I went home after the first night really uncomfortable. I thought, I don't know if I want to go back for day two. Those guys are all nuts. They all want to talk about loving Jesus, and it makes me really uncomfortable. And so I got down on my knees in my house that night when nobody else was even awake, because God woke me up. Did God ever wake you up in the middle of the night? He just really convicted me over it. So I climbed out of bed and I tried to do it real careful and quiet, because I didn't want to wake my wife up. She'd ask me what I was up to. I didn't want any accountability. Is anybody out here like me? Me and God. I got down on my knees and I said, God, I don't think I love you like I should, and I don't know why, and I want to, so please do something in my heart because I need it. And I said, and secondly, by the way, God, I don't know if you know this or not. Of course he did. I don't love my neighbor and I don't love my brothers like I should either. In fact, I'm having a hard time even loving my wife like I should, and there ain't nobody I'm closer to than her. And you know, we just got real that night. I got real. God was already real. And you know, it's still a process, but I've noticed that whenever I went back to the second day of that conference, it didn't make me quite as uncomfortable. Guys, if you're not sure, ladies, if you're not sure, I think this would be just a great time to ask God. Say, God, I don't feel like I'm loving my whatever, put them on in the blank. My wife, my husband, my child, my grandchildren, my neighbor, my church brothers and sisters. Maybe your pastor right now. Not loving them like I should. And maybe I don't love you like I should. And God, I want you to show me. What can I do about that? Is it my relationship with you? Is there something I need to straighten out there? But whenever you leave this place, I want you to be able to love like Jesus loves. Just a little bit. Because it'll keep growing. It's the love that just keeps growing. It's awesome. This is the kind of love, I believe, that brought Michael and Tracy Byrd back to their old neighborhood in St. Louis. That neighborhood they swore they'd never come back to. I think it's that kind of love that says, you need to go back. But you need to go back for the right reason. So if you're not sure, ask God. If your heart's condemning you, that's because of the Holy Spirit. You need to ask God and get it straightened out. Make sure it's not just misplaced guilt, because sometimes Satan can play with our emotions. This is an emotional thing I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you've got the conviction of the Holy Spirit, do something about it. Ask God. He'll straighten it out in you. He'll help you. You see, and then once you got God's heart in you, once you got God's heart in you and you begin to pray God's heart, that's when you're going to see answered prayers. You know, a lot of times we think that going to God in prayer is demanding of God what we want. But the prayer that God wants us to pray is His heart back to Him. And as we learn to be able to commune with God in that way, we have that love, and it's being poured out of us, through us, and it's Christ's love, it's God's love, then if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments. What are His commandments? Jesus kind of summed it up in two. I know, there's like all these, you know, there's the Ten Commandments, and then there's all the Old Testament law, 613 of them, and all that stuff. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, how did Jesus sum up all of that and say this was what it was all pointing to? Love? Go ahead, brother. Golden rule? Yeah, we want to do unto others as we do have them do unto us, but that's encompassed in these two. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And one of the gospel says in strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. So here we are. It's about love. And if we can't get the love right, we can't get the commandment right. And so he's saying, if our heart doesn't condemn us, that means you got it right with God. And we can have that confidence toward God, and we can go into prayer, praying back to God His heart. And then we can have confidence that we're going to see those things come to pass, and that we're keeping His commandments, and that these things are pleasing in His sight. It's so important that we pray God's heart. But again, you can't give what you don't have. And basically, he boils it down in verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. I'm going to close with this final scripture. It's in your notes on the back side. When we talk about prayer, we talk about praying the heart of God, We got to have the love to be able to do that. So that's the love of God in us, the love of God flowing through us. And then we're going to be able to pray God's heart. And that's what this is about in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven. You can repeat it with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We agree with that, right? Well, you just remember that middle part there. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. Let your prayers be about his kingdom, about his will, about it coming here in our life. If it's going to be here on earth as it is in heaven, of course we know the millennial reign. Jesus is going to be ruling on earth. But you know what? He can begin to rule on earth right now through us, if we'll just let him take the driver's wheel from us. Get out of this thing of him being our co-pilot and let him be the pilot. So let's turn it all over to him. Let's do it his way. Let's love like he loves. Let's pray that he helps us grow in that every day. Let's lay down our lives for our brethren just like he laid down his life for us. Let's pray his heart, and we're going to see his kingdom come. Amen. The only way you're going to be able to do that is if you're in a right relationship with Christ. So if you're not, you are in the perfect place today. Don't be too embarrassed to just come forward and lay it down before the Lord. Whatever struggle you might have, God cares. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just open our hearts to you right now. And Lord, I confess before you that I still don't love like I should. I still am not able, Lord. I'm crippled by sin, but Lord, you're helping me to overcome that each and every day. God, you're expanding my heart. You're helping me to minister to the people that I once despised. God, the reason why I despise them is because, honestly, I despise myself. But Lord, that can change. I came to know Jesus. I became a new creation in you. And Lord, you're still working on changing the inside of me day by day, to where I can love you better. I can love my neighbor better. And whenever I see them struggling, I won't just despise them. I'm going to offer help. I'm going to lay my life down for them. And Lord, especially to those in the household of God, thank you for these brothers and sisters that have come today. And Lord, I pray that whatever burdens they might have, if they need to bring it forward and ask me to pray with them, I'll do that. They may just need to bring it forward and pray by themselves, them and you, Lord. They may decide to do that right where they're standing, too. I pray they'll do whatever you lead them to do today. In Jesus' name, amen.